Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapters 9 and 10. I read for you again these words. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So far, the reading of the text. Dearly beloved of Christ, the Good Shepherd, and the only Savior of the world. Last week, we heard of mercy as Jesus called Matthew the tax collector to follow him, and as he told the Pharisees who had complained that he ate with tax collectors and sinners, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Today, we hear of Jesus' compassion, which is as important as mercy and related closely with it. To begin, we hear of Jesus going to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. In doing so, Jesus shows mercy by teaching, preaching, and healing. And yet, he's done this before. Earlier in Matthew chapter 4, we read that Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. In almost identical words, we're told that Jesus was doing what he had come to do. And then we're told that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Indeed, being harassed and helpless describes many people, if not most, including us. When we need rain and it doesn't rain, we're helpless. If we get too much rain and experience flooding, we're helpless. Quite often, something else will happen, and we will likewise feel helpless. There's also an abundance of harassment that people face. From kids teasing kids in school, to the dreaded sexual harassment that makes news headlines, to the mockery we face as Christians for simply believing in and confessing Jesus Christ and His Word, let alone the funny looks we may get for passing up other activities to come to divine service. Yes, we too are often harassed. And yet, we are harassed and helpless in a more profound way. We are harassed and helpless in the face of our sin, in the face of our own mortality, and by the devil himself, who puts so many doubts and unsavory thoughts in our heads and hearts. We know that we do not love God as we should. In fact, during these summer months, we probably give him as little time and thought as possible. After all, we are so busy with yard work or recreation fun or traveling on vacation or a host of other things deemed more important. And what can we say about loving our neighbor? How easy it is to neglect our neighbor in need or get upset if our neighbor gets on our nerves. Yes, our sins harass us and we are helpless. So we really need this shepherd, this Jesus Christ, who has compassion on the crowds who flock to him and to us. Now, when the Bible talks about compassion, it's a very visual word. Compassion means to open one's inner parts for someone else. We can even say that Jesus shows compassion for us who are harassed and helpless by spilling his guts for us. No, not spilling his guts in the way of telling someone else of all his troubles. Rather, Jesus spills his guts by showing the eternal, boundless love of God the Father. He shows this compassion by healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, and proclaiming that God's kingdom is here, bursting forth into our harassed and helpless world. And he showed that compassion by becoming one of us in his incarnation. And then by helping and healing people, by showing mercy and forgiveness, ultimately by suffering at the hands of humans harassed and helpless in their sinful pride, and dying on the cross. And finally, by rising victorious from the grave to show that death is defeated. Sins are forgiven, and we have healing and life in him. And as he said just before he went to the cross, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now that's compassion. And yet, dear friends, that compassion did not end there at Jesus' death and resurrection. No, Jesus extends that compassion by sending out his apostles to serve and minister just as he did, doing the very same things he had done. Today we hear the list of those 12 whom Jesus first sent out. Simon called Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the rest. They too would go out to proclaim God's kingdom of compassion and mercy and forgiveness, and that it had come in Jesus. They too would go out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out the demons. The solid rock of Jesus' compassion would splash in the pond of this world, and it would ripple outward through those apostles and those who follow in their office. Yes, the church continues the ministry of compassion that Jesus gave. In all of her work, especially through her ministers, Jesus still extends compassion for you, for me, for everyone who comes into her ranks. In the church, we hear and taste and see that we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We learn to believe that now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, our compassionate Lord still lives out his compassion through his church. And as St. Paul also says, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And yet, when Jesus sent out those 12, he sent them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He instructed them that they should take nothing with them. But wherever they went, to village or house, if they and their message were received, their needs would be supplied, and they should stay there. Yet, he also told them that not everyone would receive them or the message they were sent to proclaim. If faced with that situation, Jesus told them that they should shake the dust off their feet and go on to the next place. For refusal to receive the preaching of the kingdom of God that was there in Jesus would lead to a worse punishment than befell Sodom and Gomorrah. And more than that, he warns them that they are being sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves. It would be dangerous. Yet, even then, when required to give an answer before governors and kings, they shouldn't worry about what they would say, because the Holy Spirit would speak through them. Today, the teaching, preaching, and healing ministry of Jesus continues. Now, as your pastor, I certainly cannot give physical healing to the sick or raise the dead. But I can give you a greater healing for the soul. For I come to you today, as always, giving you the life of Jesus' compassion, shown on the cross and delivered in the Lord's Supper. I proclaim the same gospel of the kingdom, the good news of God's gracious reign among us. Today, God is calling you to repent of your sins and to turn to Him, to receive the salvation accomplished for you by Christ's death and resurrection. So, even as we endure things such as drought or floods or scornful responses for confessing Christ, we still have His compassion to sustain and strengthen us. Indeed, to the Lord Jesus, whose compassion never fails, be all the glory now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.